welcome aboard our vessel. I'll be your captain. Join me and my trusty ally, the cook, as we set sail through our relationship with music, film, literature, and everything in between, as well as our ongoing exploration into mental health and well-being. Anchors up.
Hello. We're on. Just letting you know. We're back for another episode, and it's number 104. Funnily enough, which is a big old number. We've celebrated 100, been to Liverpool, we've come into a new year, and we're back with, I would say, a traditional episode. We're focusing on someone, very controversial character, very, I suppose, groundbreaking when he broke through, changed the game, but obviously since gone on to have his own problems, which we'll unpick. But before that, you've been a very busy bee. You've come in, and I've noticed you're a bit, needed probably a breather, so how are you doing, mate?
I was just seeing how long you could go without me saying anything.
I'll do the whole thing, mate.
Yeah, you could probably cope with this one, if I'm honest. Yeah, just standard busyness. I think work, but then also getting the bathroom done, having to drive to Bristol twice when I didn't need to drive to Bristol. Well, I did need to, but it's nearly there. It's nearly there, which will be nice, and I would say I could settle. Well, I should be able to settle a little bit.
Yeah, you should be able to, mate. So, look, these things happen, and this is a good distraction, is it, to take your mind off things for a bit, and then you'll be able to crap and bath in peace, in luxury, really.
Oh, yeah, soon. We won't have to share a loo.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how's your week been? I know you've sort of hit a few achievements as well, haven't you?
So. Yeah, I've been busy. I've obviously got my new job, and, which I went to. I've been to Bristol and Birmingham this week with it, although it will involve less travel in the long run, but it's just meeting people, isn't it, when you're going to a new role. I decided to kick the booze, I think I mentioned last time, in January, and running as well, getting back into that. And I think, we're 12 days into...
You're smashing it, aren't you?
I've run for 7 days, or 12. And it's funny, like, when I've talked about it on the pod before, my back was hurting, but that was the point, I think I was drinking and eating too much. So... they say that, you put weight on and your back takes more strain. So I'm losing weight and running. So going to, and I find my back is not really bothering me now. I'm consistently running. And it's definitely made me think about my long-term relationship with drink as I get older, picking and choosing your moments. I enjoy going out. Everyone knows that. We've enjoyed some non-alcoholics in the last few weeks.
Yeah, we went to watch football.
We did. Which
probably should have drunk for that.
Yeah, unfortunately. But yeah, for Newport fans, we might have Man United, but we've got to beat Eastleigh.
Yeah.
This will come out on Monday, won't it? We've got Eastleigh tomorrow night.
It could come out Monday.
So we've got Eastleigh tomorrow night. And the winner of that gets a home tie against Man United, which is the stuff of dreams for clubs like Newport, who've had Man City, Spurs, Leeds. So without going too much on a sport tangent, but we were there and they were winning, and then late they gave it away.
Gave away a penalty.
So we've got a difficult midweek trip. But the Newport County fans have sold out their away allocation, which is a good effort on a Tuesday night. So.
Yeah, although I also saw for the Wrexham game sold out, and Wrexham are bringing 2,500 fans.
Yeah, they will. Yeah.
So that'll be a...
could be a start of a new rivalry, although Wrexham's time with us might be fleeting.
I think it will be.
And you were talking about Wrexham, football manager.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I'm now a proud manager of a championship club in Wrexham.
Turning down higher jobs, Crystal Palace.
I did. Crystal Palace wanted me. I said no. Swansea wanted me. Huddersfield came in for me. So, yeah, got promoted first time from National League. Took me, I think, one attempt to get promoted through the playoffs. I think it's one attempt through the playoffs for League Two. And then my second season, League One, I somehow managed to go on like a 6-game winning run in the end.
Love it.
Beat Bristol City in the final. Felt a bit bad. Didn't feel bad.
You didn't feel bad, did you, at all? Sometimes it's good to beat your team, isn't it?
My backroom staff, nobody's going to mess with us. I've got Akinfenwa, I got Michael Richards, and I got Aaron Lennon. So they're not my bodyguards.
It's good escapism, isn't it, that kind of stuff, especially when you've got a lot going on. I know you've had a tough couple of weeks, but so finding your little ways to distract yourself, take your mind off things is good. But
challenges
with charity, wasn't it? So we asked, it was Christmas, it was the time of giving. What did you do?
So I've continued mine now. So what I've done is, I don't know if you know, so I know in McDonald's, but a lot of other places now, they say Roundup for charity. And most, like, historically, I was like, oh no, I don't want to do that. I'm like, what's 97p? What's 25p? It all amounts up to stuff. And then the same, Morrison's normally have someone collecting. You know, so if I'm walking past, I tend to have cash on me now, so I'll just chuck something in.
Good.
You know, if there's someone there. So I think it's, a lot of it has been for stroke awareness.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Person's
yeah.
up there quite a lot. Yeah, so I think it's more not committing amounts now. It's more actually just being mindful of, you know, what's 97p for me? You know, if I have to round
Definitely.
Up and just that just goes to charity and it builds up and up and I just have to go to McDonald's more to do it. So,
and yeah. actually that's, so everyone's a winner.
Yeah.
No, it's good. I think, and as well, it's being more conscious, isn't it? Sometimes where you're like, if I'm in a position to do it, I'll do it. And not everyone at all times is able to do it. You know, it's especially January's a tough month, isn't it? You know, as well, following Christmas. But if you can give, you know, it, honestly, people say, I know every little helps, but it's true. Mm. Everyone drops 5, 10p's in, pounds, you're in there. It all adds up. We, I did a big clear out before Christmas in terms of clothes and kids' toys and stuff like that. So a lot of Nora's toys went down to the Salvation Army. Some of them went to Scope in Newport. I dropped clothes off to the clothes bins in Newport, you know, that you can recycle there. We do give to the Dogs Trust as well, but also my work did a raffle for a local charity in Bristol that supports homeless people, and they raised I think it was £300 or more.
Nice.
And I won a £25 Amazon voucher.
Oh,
so there you go. I donated. We all donated.
Are you going to donate that to me?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've done it. I've spent it. You know, this is that's a sore subject on my record player that I won't go into now. But it's all sorted now.
Yeah.
But
oh, and actually, on charity, you got a benefit from my charity donation because you got a new pair of socks.
I did.
Your oddballs.
Yeah.
Lots. Yeah.
I've got a pair of socks off Bryn, which is very useful. As I told him, I'm going to use them.
I've only worn them twice.
You wrapped them back up expertly.
Yeah.
But they do stink. So, right, shall we get on with our focus today?
Yeah.
Okay, focus for today. So we're bringing in a controversial character. We don't shy away from that kind of stuff. And someone who I, in the early to mid and then into late 2000s, absolutely like loved, have seen live, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And it's Kanye West. We'll just go straight in. That's who we're going to talk about today. I think so far, since he's come into the public consciousness, around the early 2000s when he started producing for Jay-Z before dropping his first album, The College Dropout, was very free-spirited, dressed different to most other rappers, didn't rap about, it wasn't always about sleeping with women, shooting people and killing. He brought a new edge, very sample-based hip-hop, which I know hip-hop is in general, but he brought some real big classic songs back into his music in the samples and changed the game, really, at the time. And that's probably the first part, up to losing his mum. And what's happened since then, I think, is kind of the way this is going to go. But I'd like to ask you first, because this is not typically your area. It's not music you'd go out and listen to at all. But you're interested in characters and people. Just an overview of what you've found, exploring and looking.
I've struggled. I think I'm going to be honest. I've really struggled just to buy in with it. I know it's one you want to do, you know, and I've gone a lot more down there. I tried listening to the music and I was like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the one I liked is when there's one he's done with strings and I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But then I've gone more down the angle of the mind, the therapeutic side. It's almost back to how we used to do it.
Yep.
And just seeing, just different theories, different. There's a lot of articles and a lot of academic writing focused on him. So I think my angle will be coming from that. So a lot of it, the start, there's one concept I can introduce, and then a lot of it will come in after the mum's passed.
Yeah, yeah.
And sort of some of the
impacts. Should we take people up to that point? Because that's really where I think, from people listening, that's where they've seen a lot more of him in the news of subjects, around music and outside of music as well. There was also the documentary that dropped, I think, 2022, which gave people much more insight into the way he was. I mean, it started off by showing how he came to fame. But it got to the bit where it caught up with modern times because the camera was still following him, and really showed you the deterioration, I think, you know, I'll be honest and say in his mental health. So we'll get to that. Look, early on, his mum was an English teacher, and he was raised what they see in America is middle class, to be honest. He didn't struggle.
Yeah.
His mum, he was born in Atlanta, but his mum and dad separated, and his mum took him to Chicago. He's always called Chicago his home. Give people a little bit of a flavour of hip-hop. Hip-hop was a West Coast, East Coast thing mainly. So you got a lot of New York rappers, a lot of LA rappers. Chicago had great talent, but not always necessarily in the mainstream. You had Common, but, you know, it didn't really have a well thought out scene. What I didn't know was that he did spend at the age of 10 some time in China. His mum went to teach in China. He was the only one in his class who spoke English, but actually picked up the language pretty quickly. He doesn't speak it much anymore, but at the time he did. His father, interestingly, Ray West, obviously when they split, he used to see his dad in summer, summertime, but you know, he spent most of his time with his mum. His father was a Black Panther, and he was one of the first black photojournalists at the Atlanta Journal. So that's interesting for me. He always said that his father was an intelligent man, always fought for social justice. We'll talk about Kanye's presidential runs and stuff in a bit as well. So anyway, he got his fame. He produced tracks for so many different rappers. I won't go into it, but the big breakthrough was Jay-Z. He did H to the Hizzo, that track, and half of the Blueprint album, which was one of Jay-Z's seminal albums. And that got him into the consciousness. But in the background, he was working on his own stuff. And he wanted to be a rapper. He wasn't being taken seriously. But he finally got Rockefeller, Jay-Z's label, to sign him as an artist as well as a producer. And from there, he produced a trilogy of albums, really. College Dropout, Late Registration, and Graduation. And, you know, those albums, without geeking out, I absolutely loved them. It's difficult for me now, because I want to go back and listen to them for nostalgia. Me and Grant used to listen to him a lot, and you'll know that when he listens to this. I just find it difficult to listen to him now, just because of what's gone on. We'll get to that. Around that time, he's touring the Graduation album, and his mum dies from a complication in, I believe it was breast reduction surgery. I saw him the second show after his mum died. So he'd found out when he was in Paris, and he couldn't complete the show. But he did come to Cardiff, and he did complete the show, and he's got one song called Hey Mama. I remember stood in the CIA crying when he was singing it, because we knew his mum had died, and we knew what was going on from there. And after that, really, if you watch the documentary and know anything about him, his mum was a massive, massive part of his life, and would always centre and ground him. She had a lovely way of speaking, very supportive of him, very supportive. Would rap along with him when they were together, very playful, very fun. All his lyrics were fun before then. Then it started changing, and he got a bit more serious. But I think I'm going to pause. That's a lot of talking. So we get to his mum's passing. Would have an effect on anyone, but especially an unexpected death. No chance to prepare, being abroad while she was somewhere else. Just your take on that, mate, and what you maybe started to look into from that point forward.
Well, I think I'm sure it, like, there was an element of self-blame for him, saying that if his mum was with him, or if he was with his mum, that this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
But then there's also the fact of the loss of the maternal figure.
Yeah.
And for me, it sort of came out a lot then in his future relationships.
Yeah.
As to actually what he needed from a woman, and maybe what he didn't get.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he needed more than maternal, but actually he didn't like being called out for that,
yeah,
or being told that. But then going back sort of to the upbringing, you know, like you said, it's very, you know, middle class, firm education.
Yeah.
You know, it's very white middle class, sort of that thing. But then with the dad, obviously with the Black Panther, civil rights, and that element. So this brings in the concept of double consciousness. So double consciousness was sort of from Du Bois kind of defined it, and he defined it as the struggle African Americans face to remain true to black culture while at the same time conforming to the dominant white society.
Right, okay.
So, like you said, a lot of his initial work, I guess, was more white based in how he was rapping.
Yeah,
I don't know,
yeah,
I might be wrong.
It did change, you know, definitely.
And then there's the question of, you know, the identity of, you know, his race, and when that comes forward, and how to balance it. But then, you know, trying to balance those two things, it's almost like a dual personality, you know, because you'll have the black culture in him, but then you'll have the white society bit of the materialism, wanting the money, signing all the deals, all of that bit. So he's kind of being pulled into two different ways from almost from birth, you know, from mum and dad. I don't know the parents' relationship, what that was like, but yeah, just being very pulled away, but also, you know, losing the cheerleader.
Yeah, sure.
You know, yeah, when something he said, so when Runaway premiered, so at the end of his speech, he talked about his mum's death, and he said he isn't scared of anything because he feels as though everything's been taken away from him.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, I have no mother, no grandmothers, no girlfriend, no daughter, and I lived with a woman my whole life.
Yeah.
So he's, yeah, literally saying that. But then this author goes on to say, at that point, I think, I might be wrong, Kanye was 33.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
So, was it 2010 his mum died?
Earlier, I think.
Earlier, was it? Okay. Yeah. Well, when he said, so when Runaway came out, you know, so 2010, Kanye's 33. If he were Jesus, he'd die this year and be resurrected.
Okay. That's interesting. I think you just see the impact of a big figure in your life leaving you unexpectedly. And since then, I think issues in his... Like, he's spoken about bipolar.
Yeah.
I was saying to you, weren't I, that, you know, he released an album saying, I hate being bipolar, it's awesome. You know, and he's that was starting to come... I mean, but we could all see it, you know, from just the behaviour. I think the first starting point where it was the erratic behaviour was Taylor Swift receiving a Video Music Award, and he basically rushed on stage, grabbed the mic off her, which is quite like an aggressive move in a start, and basically in front of Taylor Swift saying, Beyonce should have won it, not you, her video was better.
That one there from his, was it his first album or something, where he didn't get the award and he said, I should have won it?
I think that all stems from when you see his rise, no one was taking him seriously as a rapper, but they wanted his beats. They recognized him as an unreal producer, right? They knew that. I mean, he was making it for Jay-Z, you can't go higher. But often as well, you see in the documentary where people almost like wanted it for free. So he was constantly, he moved from Chicago to New York to be closer to the labels. So he's trying to get rap in front of people, and they're not really they're pushing him away. So I think he's always felt he had to fight to get where he is. And then when he gets there, he's thinking, well, I've made all these beats and I've made my own album as well. And it's good. It's changed the game. It's different to what anyone else is listening to. Which, you know, you could argue with him. He's got an argument for. But it's funny, isn't it, that maybe some of the problems were there. Yeah. Confidence. Yeah. You know, middle school, middle class entitlement. You know, seeing maybe these rappers. You're from the ghetto. You're from the slums. You know what I mean? Like, I'm... here, I can make beats and I can rap. I can do more than you. Maybe it's a bit of that. I don't know.
And looking down. But then also, if you look at, say, the Taylor Swift thing, you know, moving further on, some of the things he's doing, there's the part of the media which see it as a joke.
Yeah.
And see it as something to laugh about. And, you know, we probably did the same, you know, when he announced, oh, I'm going to run for president. People were like, oh, yeah, that'll be a good joke. That'll be a good laugh. Yeah. Let's jump on this. But actually, is the question with this eccentric behaviour, well, hold on. Something's not right here.
Yeah.
Something's not adding up. What's going on? Do you need support? Where are you at? In 2016, he was hospitalised.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's when he was diagnosed with bipolar.
Yeah.
You know, so those who don't, you know, may not understand sort of what bipolar is. So bipolar is where your moods, you can go from very, very hyper to very, very low depressed. So it's a very big switch in mood swings. It's kind of like unstable chemicals, brain, you know, that sort of thing that come in. So it is. It's a lot of being able to self-regulate. You know, medication comes into it. So if you've got the wrong people around you, you know, when you're making decisions and you haven't got someone saying, oh, hold on, are you sure you want to do this? Or actually, which part of Kanye are we talking to now? You know, I don't know whether... You know, he goes to someone else now, doesn't he? Or he's changed his name.
Well, he's called himself Ye.
Ye, okay.
As well, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, well, who's that? But who's that? Who's Ye and who's Kanye? You know, what's the difference? Why changing it and things? So, yeah, I've kind of just gone off on a bit of a tangent.
No, it's absolutely there, relevant.
It's just interesting into how the media perceive behaviour as well with some people, because some people, they'll go straight down the mental health route.
Yep.
You know, and they'll say, like, look at Britney.
Yeah,
you know, 100%. They're like, oh, yeah, mental health. Whereas with Kanye, I don't think they've really as much looked at that and being more, oh, we can jump on this. We can get into his vulnerability.
Yeah,
and that's 100%. Where politicians and things like that is dangerous, because If Trump sees that,
and you use
if
it.
He says he's going to support him, then that's something which he can jump on, because, like, right, well, he's a vulnerable celebrity. Everyone knows who he is. I can manipulate you.
100%. And I think that's the other thing that Trump saw. Kanye's such a big character,
yeah,
that he can bring him in. And I mean, a lot of Trump's support base is kind of that southern conservative white person.
Mm.
So, you know, Kanye's wore White Lives Matter on T-shirts out in shows in public.
Yeah.
His father actually was asked about that, because his father came back into his life later.
Yeah.
After his mum died, he rebuilt his relationship, and they show bits of that on the documentary. But his dad, like, laughed it off, and when I thought it was clever, he said, you know, at the end of the day, he's stating the obvious. But his dad was like, everyone's lives matter. Everyone's lives matter. But I think when you look at Kanye in recent years, if you just look at interviews with him or any footage from the documentary, you can see that it's not right. But like you said, he's such a moneymaker, and he's in the industry that people just forego that, and they will look. I mean, if he died, they just write nice eulogies, wouldn't they? Write nice comments. He'd move on. They move on to the next one.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about Shane McGowan recently. You know, they just basically. I mean, he was a pisshead. Mm. You know, he talked about that himself. But he was also a creative genius. It was very well respected in as a. Like, he was almost like a poet, really. You know, and a storyteller. But the way the media looked at him, just find the worst photo possible they could find of him. And put that out there, which is interesting because I'll just turn my fan off.
That's all right.
That's going to be a bit. That's going to be loud.
Yeah. Well, what's your talk? I mean, because you'll talk about the media. So there's something I found. It's something Kanye posted and deleted. The world is racist, sexist, homophobic, and crazy phobic at our core. It's cheap and dismissive to say I'm off my meds anytime I speak up. So what he's getting at is when he speaks up now, people are saying, oh, he's not taking his medication, or he's imbalanced, you know, he's not in the right place. So essentially he's trying to say, well, actually, maybe I am on my meds, and maybe what I'm saying is true. It's tricky, and it's a hard one. That's what I'm saying, like, it's a hard character to or person to get on board with, given a lot of the work, like, even, you know, with the anti-Semitism
that's coming out
and that sort of stuff. And it's like, where can you separate the person and the music?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we haven't done Michael Jackson yet.
Yeah, that's another one, isn't
where
it?
Can you separate the person and the music? You know, it's so hard, you know, and tricky, but yeah.
No, it's hard. And I think, like, you know, that's where I find it really difficult, you know, someone who really liked his work. I mean, you know, genius is definitely, like, you know, the right word when you talk about this person. And then a lot of geniuses that you hear over time are troubled people, aren't they? Mm. You know, they have a dark side.
Yeah.
They explore and think about things that people day to day don't think about. But there's things that you have to call out. You know, if you're anti-Semitic, you have to call it out. You know, we've got a lot going on in the world right now with Palestine and Israel. I think a lot of people, like, my problems with the bombing of Palestine and Israel's part is with the Israel government and the people around it supporting it. It's not against the Israel people. There's enough Jewish people out there at the moment who condemn what's happening, you know. But when you go out with blanket things, I think he released a thing of, like, a Star of David with a swastika built into the image around it and put it on his Twitter before he deleted it. But people saw it, as they do, they're monitoring it. And rightly called out, and that brings on a lot of hate, because then they showed, like, on Place in America, they quickly jumped on that and started hanging banners from like motorways saying Kanye West was right. You know, he had the Make America Great Again hat. You know, in terms of that as a phrase, Make America Great Again, without any context, there's nothing wrong with that, like, wanting to make your country great. But we all know that was built on racism, wasn't it? Misogyny, sexism. But he said wearing that made him feel, it was like the equivalent of wearing Superman's cape.
Mm.
And that, I think that's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen, is when that was filmed and released of him in the Oval Office with Trump, sharing a light lunch with all the journalists around. Yeah. And just, you see how manic Kanye is at the time. And you can see Trump is just sat there laughing, probably thinking to himself, this is brilliant for me.
Yeah,
this is absolutely brilliant. He probably doesn't like Kanye deep down.
No.
But he's probably just thinking, I'll use this.
And he'll throw him down, you know, if he runs again, he'll probably throw him down the water.
Exactly.
Like, oh, I don't need you now.
Exactly.
You're cannon fodder, you can go. But then even with things where, with Kanye, people are like, right, well, we can't work with you, we can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, like, is it Nike?
He switched from Nike to Adidas.
Adidas. Okay.
And then Adidas had to drop him after the anti-Semitic. Yeah,
but then they still make money.
Yeah, well, Adidas... were the last ones to drop him.
Yeah.
They defended him. Gap dropped him and others, but yeah. the biggest one was with Adidas, and they said it wiped basically 250 million off their earnings.
Yeah. But he's still earning.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But apparently that deal cost him $1 billion.
Yeah.
So, but like he's still out there, he's still rapping. Yeah. And I think like when he got to, you were talking about his higher being, his feeling that he was a higher being. He released an album in 2013 called Yeezus. And I remember that. But there was songs on there like Black Skinhead. Was one of them, New Slaves, because in the past I think he's insinuated that black people enslaved themselves.
Okay.
Which I just find, when he did Jesus Walks in the early days, which was all about black people being downtrodden, his mum was an educated, you know, lady teacher, very educated, his father was Black Panther. I just find that difficult, you know. And you see on the documentary later on when he's struggling, like people like Rick Rubin, he's come up a few times, massive producer in America, very spiritual guy, and he's like got his arm on Kanye's shoulder, and he's, you can see there's loads of people there working on this project, and he's almost got his arm on Kanye, he's just trying to have a minute with him to say, and but there's almost that look of, I'm not getting through.
No.
And I said to you, I think it's Malibu or somewhere, he's got a house,
okay,
and these two businessmen are there, it's like evening time, and the camera's sort of away from them, is sort of filming from a distance, but you can hear it. And Kanye is just spouting off all sorts of ideas that are just, you know, nothing wrong with having loads of ideas, but it's manic, it's maniacal. That's what you said about bipolar. If you're up, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's hard to bring you down, but if you're down, you can't get out of bed, maybe, and that kind of stuff. So it's a difficult one in terms of the story is still being told, isn't it? You know, and I think where we are right now is, in terms of the music industry, he's definitely become one of those ones where, do you listen to him? Yeah. Is it ethical, morally correct to listen to him now? I don't know. For me, like I go back, I almost see his life in two halves, and I go back and look at the first three when everything was swimmingly, and just think, bloody hell, they were just good albums. Mm. Now I find it difficult.
Yeah,
you know, so. The whole stuff with Kim Kardashian, wasn't it? Blew him to another level. Kim Kardashian's a huge celebrity. He's got children with her. But then, like, you know, that ended acrimoniously. I remember, like, after the Taylor Swift one, he made lyrics about saying, I think the Taylor will still sleep with me. I made that bitch famous. You know, like, it was one of the lyrics. He's had a go with other rappers. It's just a lot. He tweeted Bill Cosby is innocent. I mean, Bill Cosby has been proven, I think, to be a sex offender, hasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, just a lot. And will there be a turning point where he almost sees the light? Because he was doing a gospel Sunday service, or gospel service, where he was making music that was spiritual. Mm-hmm. And I wondered then at that point whether he was going to turn.
Yeah.
Like a seeing the light moment and come out. But that was just turned out to be another aspect of his character while the other stuff was going on. So I don't know, mate. Any final sort of reflections, really, on the character of the man, I suppose?
I think it's trying to, like, the way, you know, we're going to go down the media portrayal of mental health. And that said, I was just reading an article about where he's due to be sentenced for punching someone who asked for an autograph. And the way the media put it, I'm guessing Heartless is one of his songs.
Yeah, it is.
They've put the Heartless rapper.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, read between the lines with some things, and you know, as we said, it's hard to separate the song, like the music and the person and the views and things like that, but if you are listening to it and if you are talking with people, have conversation about
it. Yeah, definitely.
You know, that's where this is brought out of, is the conversation of, well, actually, oh, why are you listening to Kanye West? Well, actually, let me sit down and let me talk to you about all the different elements of himself, the double consciousness element, you know, the mental health, you know, the upbringing, the loss of the mum, and you know, there's so many rich themes which over a coffee, over a beer, you can have good conversations. So there's a lady, Sarah Blake, wrote a book of poetry called Mr. West. I think you can buy it, you can access it in different places. I was scanning through, I was hoping there's one that'd shoot out and it'd be like, oh, that's appropriate to read now.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there is, if I'm honest. So,
yeah.
Just because, there is still, like, there's ones, a lot of it covers sort of his mother's death, what he did with Taylor Swift, but so this lady is an expectant mother when she's writing it.
Right.
And she's writing it as if she's talking to Kanye.
Right, okay. West. It's interesting.
So it's almost the poetry from a mother, expectant mother, talking to him who's about to, or who has just lost his mother.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's quite an interesting one to...
That's a good one for people to look up, isn't it?
And like, yeah, to look up and to look at. And, you know, like I said, you know, I'm sure if I... Like, there were elements of the music which I liked. You know, there were some songs which I was like, oh, I recognise that.
Yeah.
You know, and, oh, I recognise that beat, or I recognise this from other songs and things. And,
yeah.
You know, if you're not keen on him, or if you're not keen on that style of music, I'd still say, just have a listen.
Yeah.
You know, have a go. But let us know as well. Let us know what you think. I think for us, we do gain a lot more from feedback.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
From hearing from people and just knowing, you know, like, we're talking about possibly changing how we're going to, like, do parts of the podcast and things, and it might be we can have an area where we can talk about things people are saying.
Yeah, or, yeah, yeah, you know, yeah.
Like, if there's a theme you're interested in, you're like, well, actually, I'd like to find out more. I'd
yeah,
like to know more about the Black Panthers.
Yeah.
You know, and we can do a little section on it, or I'd like to know more about bipolar or celebrities with bipolar.
100%.
And we can do a section on it. So I think, you know, we're trying, you know, we're looking to grow, we're looking to alter. So let us know, you know,
yeah,
those things. But I know it's, you know, another big one for you. So anything you really want to touch on to finish?
I know there's a few people who spoke to me who listened to the pod who wanted, I hope, you know, they enjoyed it. You know, again, we're just trying to come from a non-judgmental view and remembering that if this is someone, well, this is someone who suffers with mental health and they are in a position where they're a public figure. And I do still think that people need to take care around how they talk about people like that.
Yeah.
Still a human being. Obviously, as well, there's help available. But they're in a bad place. They've been in a good place. They're in a bad place at times.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I absolutely don't justify any of their comments, but I do see it as a, I don't know if it's just a call for attention, a call for help. You know, he had the attention of his mother, as we've said, which is important to him. So just take care with it all. But I think Bryn's point is really good. We talk about a lot of stuff and we might whiz through a lot of big things. If you want to know more, tell us. We could do an episode about it. You know, like celebrities with bipolar, as you said. Black Panther's another good one. That'd be really interesting.
Yeah.
The effects on popular culture. So just get in touch. We need that you to come to us.
Yeah.
And then we do that. Otherwise, we pick.
Yeah, you just got to listen to us.
Exactly. Seagull corner.
Is that close? Is that close enough?
I thought it went bad.
That wasn't too bad.
But we did see, didn't we? The seagull call it like seagull impression.
Yeah.
Like they are actually competitions.
Yeah.
So
So we're going to call you out. Send us in your best impression.
Yeah.
Somebody. Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to start messing you and make you do it.
Oh, 100%.
Or well, if we see you out.
We'll see, if we see you, you're doing a seagull impression.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
I was just thinking when I was, I mentioned before, I think I've read one before, I can't remember if I've read one or two. I like to write observationally sometimes, just sitting in, listening to what people, the coffee shop's always a great place, but we did mention about Tales from the Coffee Shop, the coffee gets cold, and by
Toshikazu Kawaguchi.
That's the one.
Got that one, didn't I? So there's four out so far. The most recent one came out in November. I read it in a week. The fifth one's coming out this November.
Yeah.
So it's not too much longer to wait. Whilst I was reading, I was like, God, this would be quite a good stage play.
Yeah.
Or film, or just something, you know, someone
there's different
to do
characters
it, or a series,
coming in.
Or, But also, we had a conversation when we went to watch County. And I was saying, God, it'd be great to write a book about what you hear, just the generic conversations in a football or just in a sports environment from fans, and then some of the random abuse people shout out. And you know, it'd just be really interesting. Someone may have done it, and if they have, let's know.
From the terraces sort of thing.
Yeah, from the Tales from the Terraces. And it's just like, almost like you have two people who go with season ticket holders, and it's just their conversations all the time.
We were laughing, weren't we, as well?
Yeah.
Like, because it's just it's just the way, especially dialect, isn't it? Like Newport dialect.
Yeah.
We were stood, weren't we, amongst it. And just, even the, all right, it is shouted abuse at times, but it's just funny turns of phrases how people do it. I don't think they're, you know, trying to vehemently attack someone.
Yeah.
It's just, we were saying about how football gets your juices flowing, or any sport.
Yeah. Well, I think if I'd had a beer, I had the one shout I wanted to do. The guy who got sent off, his surname was Langston. And I just wanted to shout, you're just a crap part of Newport.
Yeah, because someone shouted out about Eastie, and I've been to Eastie, and I know some of the people there.
Oh, that's it. You're just a bus stop in Southampton. You're just a bus stop in Southampton.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, that's as far as yet.
Stuff like that would just be fun. But now we have our own resident Tales from the Coffee Shop.
He's been for a while, has he?
No, he hasn't. So he's turning up. Monsieur, I don't know, what would you call yourself?
Monsieur Seagull.
Oh, okay.
What's French for
Seagull? All right, Stephen.
What's French for seagull?
I don't know. Give me a sec. You read, and then when we finish, I'll just
you'll
say
tell you what it is. That can be my pen name. Okay, so Tales from the Coffee Shop. This is number 3. I can't remember if I read out number 2. Don't really care, but I'll just go from there. They're all in this morning. Mum Club, retired couple, lone writer, creative, and me. Stereotypical coffee shop scene, I suppose. Usual Aaron, of course. They know me too well, and I love it. That sense of belonging. It's why I keep returning. Same with the pub. Love that the Guinness starts getting poured the minute Kath hears my familiar footsteps slap her tiled floor. We all just want to belong, don't we? Be recognised, be understood, be taken care of. You see it in the Mums Club. 3 young mums, 3 babies. They probably talked about this growing up, having kids at similar times so they could form this particular Mums Club in the local coffee shop. I love seeing this. It's dreams turned into reality. But look a little closer though, and you can see them eyeing each other up, comparing their parenting abilities, comparing their offspring. One of the babies isn't happy and continuously cries, and you can see the agitation on his mum's face, thinking, just shut up, why can't you be like the other two, and so on. But the baby feels it, and she only serves to feed the baby's agitation. The other two mums try to comfort. Oh, bless him. Oh, he's not happy, is he? Love him. But I can see a look of triumph on their faces. One of the mums puts her little girl into the pram, and of course, she goes without protest. She then tells her friends to hand the screaming devil over to her. Takes 30 seconds, but the boy starts to relax whilst looking into this now new motherly face. The boy's mum says thank you to her friend, but you can see she's crushed. It's one of the saddest things I've ever seen. My sympathy for the frustrated mother can't be overstated, but just as my sympathy starts to peak, my coffee arrives and I really need it this morning. So I quickly have to move on from feeling sorry for the mum so that I can satisfy my call for caffeine. Some food, Aaron? Bacon roll? Yeah, why not, I say. Snow's fallen outside, well, hail more like, provides a perfect backdrop for the retired couple who look bored shitless. Probs because they've said all they have to say 10,000 times. Going to work gave them something to moan about. Retirement highlighted how little they have in common. They'll just go through the motions until one of them is released by the death of the other. Is this sadder than the frustrated mum? I can't decide. Anyway, my bacon roll has arrived. Brown or red? Brown, please. What's my pen name?
Monsieur Lamouette.
Oh, I like it. What do you think of that?
No, I was good, sorry. Caught me off guard then. I normally tell you off screen. Off screen? Off thing. No.
I think we need to do more of that, both of us.
Yeah. I think, that's something I'd like to be able to, like, write one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you can do the first 2 guys with the season tickets. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Maybe I'll pick a different place. Oh, Tales from the Gym.
There you go.
So I might... Watch the space.
Lots of grunting from you.
Yeah, do you think you're going,
oh, what an ending. Okay, thanks, child.
Yep.
One of them. Okay, challenge time. Now, this might change over the year.
Yeah.
This is one of the sections that we're going to look at. Mm-hmm. A, because lives are very busy. I've got a new job. You've got a lot going on as well. We do still welcome challenges. We do still welcome new things, don't we, to try?
From specific people.
Not from Kiwi.
No, please.
We're still looking at the Guinness Book of Guinness World Records thinking there's got to be something in there we can do. But for now, nice and straightforward one for you is... I want you to listen to some classical music on the radio.
On the radio. Oh,
so
perfect.
While you're doing a bit of work on your admin day.
Yeah. Scala Radio is going on.
Scala Radio. Yeah. Right. So you're not only hearing the music, but you're hearing a little bit. And if there's anything, there's no pressure with this, but if there's anything you pick up from your listening, bring it to us.
I do put it onto NAP as well. So.
Do you? Yeah. There you go. Well, maybe that, just radio note 3, it. Tune in. No, well, we'll tune out.
Yeah. Which one do I fall asleep to? Yeah, well, yours again, you know, maybe that's what we do. It's a theme, so it's music theme. This week. All I want you to do is find a song that's just been released that I potentially might not have heard. or people may not have known the person, you know, just something like that.
Something new.
Something new.
Something fresh.
Something fresh.
Righty. Okay, hope people enjoyed that. You know, getting back to sort of an old school format, a bit like the Shane McGowan one. We do like getting back to structure, we hope people do. It's cold at the moment, but we will go back out and meet some people, as we've said, and we've got people lined up for that. For me in the outro, I just want to give shout out to Dale Kelsals, a colleague of mine, who very bravely shared a story about losing his brother to suicide and is now part of what we call an impact group in work to raise awareness of mental health struggles, suicide prevention, suicide support, which is something obviously you work in, I'm about to become trustee in. And just something that we're passionate about anyway, one of the reasons for doing the podcast, to be fair. But honestly, it's so inspiring when you hear someone able to step up and share a story because they think it'll help other people. And Dale and I had a conversation this morning, and I'm going to join that employee relations group.
Oh, nice.
It just seems to tie the circle up with the stuff I'm doing outside of work with inside of work. And we were just commenting as we were talking about, isn't it crazy to think now that there's people out there, our own colleagues, who are struggling, don't know where to go.
Yeah.
So our job is very simple. It's going to be to raise awareness within work and make sure people are aware that it is support.
You're going to get me a job then, yeah?
Well,
interesting. I'll be working for our...
Very interestingly. Yeah. So he worked, a friend of his works at a foundation, very similar to Abraham. And they've already spoken about some stuff that we may be able to link on. But also about how one of his colleagues said, isn't it interesting that we provide grief counselling to our customers, but we don't provide it to our own staff.
To your own staff, yeah.
And that is probably the case at
I'll give you mates, right?
Yeah. You always do. Yeah. Anything from you, Captain, this week?
We'll finish on a light-hearted story for some of us. I know he listens, so I'll give a shout-out to our friend Des, my dad.
All right, Des.
So we had a bit of an issue with the panels in the bathroom, and I had to go to Bristol to pick them up. But Charlotte had an appointment that we needed to go to. And she's not the biggest fan of driving, so I thought, right, okay. Well, we've got time. I've got to be there by 4:30, it closes. I've got to get there by 4:30. So your appointment's at 2:00, so it'll be fine. We can do this. It's only going to be short. We got there. Appointment's 45 minutes late, so I was like, okay, you're going to have to come with me to Bristol. Yeah, we're going to have to both go to Bristol to get this so the work can be done. So over we went, picked up the panels. I was like, right, cool. Yeah, we'll get them in the car. Put them in the car. Charlotte won't.
There's no way for Charlotte to sit. So she's still in Bristol.
So she's still in. If anyone sees her, but luckily, our knight in bald-headed armour
with massive hands,
with big
strong hands,
was working in Clevedon. So he drove down, rescued Charlotte, so we could both get home. And then when we got home, like, we sat down for dinner and Charlotte said, I could have just got out of Basleg. I was like,
don't say that to me.
Don't say that to me now after I've just had to fly across to Bristol.
I can just picture your dad not bringing like Charlotte in the car, but he's like flying through the sky in Lycra and his cape.
I don't want to picture that.
Super Des. He's a good egg, your old man, isn't he, though?
Yeah, I was very lucky.
Though. Yeah.
It's just a funny story.
I just love how you go, though. Actually, there's no other solution. If my dad can't pick him, you'll just have to stay in Bristol.
Well, her brother was the other side of Bristol, so there was another. Like, we had backups.
Temple Meads is about 45 minutes
I'll just strap her to the roof of the car, and we can just drive.
Ooh. Well, there you go. We've got a group, Bryn, myself, and our wives. Mm-hmm. And Charlotte did say you can see where Bryn's priorities are.
That bathroom's getting done.
I bet Charlotte was getting the blame for the appointment being late, weren't she?
No, she wasn't, actually. She was a... Yeah.
She was exempt, was she?
Yeah, she was exempt from that one.
Okie doke, then. Well, on that note, it's a tra from me.
A tra from him.